Good afternoon. Thank you, Mary Beth. The first author of the paper is Marie-Cécile Grouzel, who is a postdoc in my program, and she's very close to the date that she is due, and so you get me, who's very far from the date that he's due. My name's Ivan Fernandez, with co-authors Kevin Simon and Steve Norton, Kevin from the University of Auckland now, formerly from the University of Maine. And Steve Norton from the University of Maine. And so I want to talk a little bit about some data from a nitrogen-15 enrichment experiment that is laid over a long-term nitrogen amendment experiment in a New England forest. And many of us have been here at the soil science meetings in the past talking about the Bear Brook watershed in Maine. So that's the study site. It's in what we call down east Maine, which right now is about under a foot of snow and very little power anywhere. About 60 kilometers from the coast, and Bear Brook is on a relatively small, it's the highest peak in the eastern part of the state there actually, but a relatively small 475 meter quote unquote mountain. There are two watersheds laid out on the side of the mountain, roughly 10 hectares each, where we've been conducting the experiment for over a quarter of a century now. The East Bear is the reference watershed, and so this serves as the classic lichens-paired watershed model, where we're not adding any treatments, at least up until this study. And the West Bear has been treated for 25 years with ammonium sulfate, as I'll describe in a minute. Both watersheds are gauged by cement V-notch weirs in collaboration with the U.S. Geological Survey. So to talk a little bit about the results that I'm presenting today, which are the initial results from a tracer amendment experiment, it's probably useful to put in context the history of some of the nitrogen work that has gone on at Bear Brook. Experiment was begun in 1987 after doing a survey throughout the state looking for an appropriate site. For 2 years, we did a calibration. So we measured input, output of everything, but of course of nitrogen as well, of the two streams in order to verify their comparability and to establish baseline conditions. And then in the fall of 1989, we began to do long-term treatments just like that for now. With ammonium sulfate, ostensibly to be doing an acid rain experiment. The overall study site focuses on long-term responses to our changing chemical and physical climate. The ammonium sulfate was added to just the West Bear Brook watershed. We added at a rate of 25.2 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare per year by helicopter every 2 months. And ambient nitrogen deposition at the site is probably around 4 to 5. We measure wet, we guess at dry. And the total cumulative nitrogen that we've added to the watersheds in the 2 decades since the beginning of the treatment to the date that these data were collected is about 571 kilograms, which is about 5% of the total soil pool of about 9,500 kilograms of nitrogen. To give you context of the long-term treatment, which is, in this context, a long-term nitrogen enrichment of the watershed. Early in the experiment, in 1991 and 92, we refabricated the commercial fertilizer to increase the DEL value to roughly 192, or from 0.336 to 0.437 atom percent nitrogen. And for 2 years, the same periodicity of treatments, every 2 months we'd fly the helicopter, but this refabricated fertilizer would be adding isotopic tracer, and the total of that addition was 63 kilograms of the fertilizer over that 2 year period. Newt Nadeloffer reported on some of the summation at the time and was accounting for about 30 to 40% of the label that had been added as of 1992. Fast forward, we continued to treat after 1992 with commercial fertilizer. In June of 2012, we conducted a pulse chase experiment with the notion that we were going to add a tracer to both watersheds to get additional insight at a mechanistic level about the processing and cycling of nitrogen in these two watersheds. So the objectives overall are to use an isotopic tracer to understand the differences in end dynamics after a quarter century of nitrogen additions. Part of the objectives here were also to determine if the methodology that we used would work and to provide some insights for those who go after this to do this kind of research. And the two science hypotheses for today would be that accelerated dynamics, nitrogen dynamics in West Bear compared to East Bear would be reflected in the 15N tracer distribution over time, and that as secondary to that, we did phosphorus amendments to look at the question of whether phosphorus was limiting nitrogen dynamics in that context. So as far as the methods, we did whole watershed 15N enrichments of both watersheds, and so this is the first time we've done anything by way of a treatment to the East Bear watershed. We added 0.402 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare to both watersheds, so that was about a 5% increase in ambient for our reference watershed, and it was trivial in the treated watershed. And it also added about 0.003% of the hydrologic input and such. In other words, it's trivial compared to an annual rainfall input. And the what we're looking at there is the 8.5 kilograms of 98 plus atom percent 15N, or about $120,000 worth of it, that was then refabricated in order to treat these watersheds. The way we treated them was the fertilizer was dissolved, and those small bottles, I'm going to press the wrong button, these small 50 mil bottles were a concentrate of the enriched tracer. They were added to what we're looking at here is the tank from a backpack sprayer, and we went through a lot of tech research on the wands and the nozzles, and I'm trying to forget all of the tech at this point. In order to get the right distribution of the swath that we would use, this is water from the stream that was collected prior to the beginning of the treatments, stored at the base of the watershed in cattle tanks, so we would have a water supply in order to carry this out. And so we would put one bucket in, add the spike, and then fill it up to a pre-calibrated line in order to do one charge, if you would, is what we called it, for the backpack sprayer. These were then distributed by a team of three sprayers in tandem, and they'd go across the watersheds, that yellow nylon line, where there would be one team rolling out the nylon line on determined corridors that would guide the progress of the team. And there'd be another team that was really happy lugging water from those cattle tank storage at the bottom of the mountain up in order to resupply the team that was filling the tanks. That's what the three-person team looks like moving through the upper spruce fir portion of the watershed. The lines would be on both sides. Usually someone was in front of them. A lot of times that was me, keeping them lined up on it. We love this map so much after 8 days of doing this treatment that we make slides out of it now. This is the upper portion that's really steep, and so we went on diagonals, and then the rest of it we traversed both watersheds in tandem. It was a ton of water that was lifted up the mountain and 60 kilometers cumulative linear distance in order to treat the two watersheds, and it took 8 days. At the eighth day, they were all happy. We also did small 5x5 meter plots in order to do phosphorus addition. We added phosphorus as sodium phosphate at 100 kilograms per hectare of P, same backpack sprayer approach. And then we did a number of things, but the core of what we're talking about today is a serial sampling of the loose litter, coarse and fine organic fraction of the O horizon, which was separated by a 6 millimeter mesh sieve, so it's operationally defined. It was not morphologically defined. And then the mineral soil as the top 25 centimeters of the B horizon. We also did, solids were done by isotope ratio mass spec, and then we did extractions. I'll point to one component of that data today, diffuse the KCl extractions in order to get at the isotope. So let's look at some of the core results that we've, initial results that we're reporting on here today. And these three panels, actually four panels, there's one on the next slide, are set up the same way. The y-axis is the delta 15N value. The x-axis is the number of days following the end of the spike addition or the tracer addition. This little cartoon essentially is the x-axis demonstrating how they're set up. This cluster of data is from June through October in 2012, immediately following the treatment. And then these two data points in each graphic are from June and August 1 year later. And so what we saw is prior to the addition of the tracer, the delta 15N values were very similar. There was a tendency for the West Bear to be higher than East Bear, which is a different talk. After the tracer addition, we saw, as you might expect, an immediate increase in the delta 15N value. Loose litter increased the most, averaged across the whole period shown here is 123 per mil. The coarse organic fraction, so this is the stuff that didn't go through the 6-millimeter mesh sieve, increased 20 per mil. The fine organic fraction increased 5 per mil. What we see is, getting ahead of myself. What we see is a little bit of attenuation in the loose litter into the second year, but not much. Most of the enrichment stayed consistent in the first and second year of the data shown here. In the second year, in the fine earth fine organic fraction, there was a tendency for the West Bear. This is the long-term nitrogen-enriched watershed. To show higher rates of or higher levels of delta 15N than the East Bear, and we see the same thing in the mineral soil, although the delta 15N values are all significantly lower. This is where we started, and the overall increase was 2 per mil in the second year. West Bear relatively consistently being higher. This is not a significant difference. It was in the fine earth fraction. We also looked at some data so far from the phosphorus addition plots, and so this figure is showing you the solid phase data that shows no effect of the phosphorus. This shows you the extractable, which the phosphorus treatment tended to result in a greater enrichment in the ammonium. And Casey Salvino will be talking more about the phosphorus treatments on Wednesday. So in conclusion, the whole watershed 15N tracer addition was an effective experimental approach. We can give you hints on how to improve it. For the ecosystem components reported here in the first year, over 80% of the tracer was recovered on a mass balance basis, 44% in the loose litter, 3% in the coarse organic, 33% in the fine organic, and 20% in that minerals component that was shown. There was no significant differences between the two watersheds overall in the first year, although some suggestion for an increased label in West Bear, and likewise no significant phosphorus effect, but some suggestion of phosphorus impact on accelerating end cycling. And so with that. So is there a species effect on...
Yeah, so the upper part with the sprues relative to lower down, I mean, are they behaving differently?
Or... Yeah, on a per mil basis, the hardwoods are accumulating more.
Thank you.
Okay.